So if you'd turn there with me, we've talked about the Great Commission for several weeks now. You find your place, let's pray together just for a second. Lord, we pray for your help this morning, for your guidance, your direction, your Holy Spirit's presence and power. Help me, Lord, I pray, to be a blessing and to be a help to these dear folk this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the Great Commission, and we've discussed in weeks past about the preparing to go soul winning and preparing spiritually. We talked about that last week, to have a clean life, to be dedicated to the Lord's work and the Lord's will, be submissive to His Word. We talked about preparing ourselves physically to take the gospel message, to be clean, to practice good personal hygiene, and dress properly to represent Jesus Christ as an ambassador of His. So we talked about that, and we also talked about the message and the gospel message, and we talked about Romans Road and how we use that to lead souls to Christ. So we're in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That means make disciples of all nations, get them saved. Now we've done that here during these classes. We've gotten this far. But then the next word says, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's the next step. So when we get a person saved, are we done? No. Too many folks quit right there. It doesn't end there. In fact, it just begins there. Look at what he says. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, get them saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, who is them? Who is them? Those who just got saved. All right? How many of them? Every one of them. Every one of them. Baptism's important. I want us to take a few minutes this morning and look in the book of Acts. If you turn with me there, go to the book of Acts. And let me make a few comments about the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible, because the book of Acts is a history book. It's a history book about the early church. The first 12 chapters deal with the church at Jerusalem, and then we move to the church at Antioch, but it's the work and the ministry of the early church. And why is that important? Why is it important that we understand the work of that early church? Well, here's why. Jesus was here for 33 years, but he ministered for three and a half years. And during those 3.5 years, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear, and he performed many, many miracles. He preached many sermons, but the bulk of his ministry when he was here was spent teaching 12 men, those 12 apostles, teaching them how to carry on the work once he was gone. Now, if that be true, I believe when we look at the book of Acts, what we see is the work of God being carried on the way Jesus taught his disciples, or those 12 apostles, that the work should be carried on. So we have a window here into what our Lord intended to be practiced in his church. So that's what I want us to look at for just for a few minutes this morning. So if you turn to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, verse 38. In fact, we'll go back to verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. How many of you? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. So he's saying they ought to repent. That means they ought to get what? Saved. When you repent, you get saved. Amen. Repentance is another word for salvation. So, repent and then be baptized. That's the next step after repentance, be baptized. After you get saved, what's the next step? Be baptized. All right, now, I didn't establish that order. God did. Saved first, then baptized. Now, let's talk a little bit about that verse. It says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, some folks teach that what that says is, in order to have forgiveness of sins, you need to be baptized. Is that what that verse says? Now, we already know that salvation comes when a person believes, not when he gets baptized. So what is this verse saying? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The key word there is the word for. What does that word mean? Well, it can mean one of two things. It can mean in order to, or it can mean because of. In order to or because of. Now, which meaning applies here? Well, let me explain it like this. Occasionally, not very often, but occasionally, I get a headache. You ever get a headache? And when I get a headache, what I do is I take a couple aspirin or ibuprofen. Now, I didn't take that aspirin or ibuprofen in order to get a headache. I took it because I already had one. Now, apply that to this verse here. You don't get baptized in order to get remission of sins, but you get baptized because you already have remission of sins. Does that make sense? So that's what verse 38 says. Now go with me to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Who got baptized? Those who gladly received his word. And when you gladly receive his word, you are what? Saved. So who got baptized? All those who got saved. Now here's a word I want you to look at, the first word in that verse. Then, they that gladly received his word were baptized. Not next month, not next week, but when? Then. When should a person get baptized? According to the Bible, as soon as he gets saved. It's not something you should put off. And here's why. If you put it off, the longer you put it off, the less likely you are to get baptized. So, when we look at this early church, we're going to see that when a person got saved, the very next thing he did was get baptized. Let's look at some examples. We looked at the one in chapter 2. Go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. In chapter 8, Philip is preaching a revival there in Samaria, and folks were being saved. But look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Now, when were they baptized? When they what? When they believed. When they got saved. So, chapter 2, verse 41 says, then they that gladly received. This verse says, when they believed, they got baptized. So, what the Bible is teaching us, I believe, is when you get saved, the very next thing is get baptized. Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus is on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and on the road he meets Jesus. And there on the road to Damascus, Saul got saved. Now, how do I know he got saved? Well, I know he got saved because of what he said. He said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? Saul becomes a Christian. And the instruction he was given was, go into Damascus, into the street called Straight, and he said, then it'll be told thee what thou art to do next. So what happens when he gets there? Look at verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. First thing he did, get baptized. Everybody with me? When a person gets saved, what should he do next? Get baptized. Is that a biblical position? Let's look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 47. Peter is at Cornelius' house, preaching the gospel to Cornelius. And let's look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So Peter, as soon as he led these men to Christ, he said, where's water? Because these men need to be what? Baptized. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Paul is preaching along the riverbank there in Philippi, and a lady gets saved. Look at verse 13. Acts 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So when she attended, when she listened, her heart was opened. Who came into her heart? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and what? open the door, I will come into him. Her heart was opened. Jesus came in. She got saved. And what happens next? What does it say? And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized. So the very next thing it says happened was she was baptized. Verse 25, same chapter. Philippian jailer. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now, what time is it? Midnight when this takes place. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his. Straightway. Immediately. They didn't post middle of the night. What's the scripture trying to teach us? When a person gets saved, what should they do? Acts chapter 18. It said Acts 18, but I can't find my verse. Yeah, that'll work. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Did you notice these two words we find them together? Believed and baptized. They're together. In all these passages, they're together. One should be associated with the other. Chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, they were baptized under John's baptism, but when John was baptizing at that time, Jesus had not yet revealed himself. John was baptizing under repentance for the Messiah who was coming, but had not yet been revealed. Now Paul comes to Ephesus, and here are these Christians who've had John's baptism, but they have not heard about Jesus being the Messiah. So he tells them that John's baptism was pointing forward to the Messiah coming, but now we have the Messiah. His name is Jesus. And they trusted that word, and they trusted that Jesus is the Messiah, and as a result, they were what? Baptized. When do you get baptized? After you believe. After you believe. We have the example given in Acts chapter 8, don't we, with the Ethiopian eunuch. Riding along in his chariot, reading Isaiah chapter 53. Philip comes and joins himself to the chariot and asks him. He says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And the eunuch's answer was, "How can I, except some man should guide me? I need somebody to show me what these verses mean." Aren't you glad God has given us a part to play in his plan of salvation? That we can take the word of God and take it to some person and explain to them what God has done for them. We have a part to play in God's plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that God would choose to use me, or God would choose to use you. So they were riding along in the chariot, and they come to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "Well, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, he got saved, and what does he want to do next? He wants to get baptized. You know, I think when a person gets saved, he ought to want to get baptized. We shouldn't have to beg or wheedle or, you know what that word wheedle means, don't you? Or cajole, or coax. We shouldn't have to do that. A person ought to want to get baptized when he gets saved. Acts 19. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When were they baptized? When they heard this. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, as we study the book of Acts, what we learn here is when a person gets saved, the next thing they do is get baptized. You'll search in vain to find somebody who got saved who didn't get baptized. That's what they did. Now, if you go back to Mark 16, verse 15, says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The next verse says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, why does it link baptism there with believing? Because when a person believed, he got baptized. It's that simple. The two go together. They belong together. You get saved, the next thing you do is get baptized. Anybody have a question on that? Everybody understands that? It's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, a lot of times we try to make something complex out of something that's very simple. You get saved, the next thing you do is get baptized. Now, how do we get a person who's been saved baptized? Well, there's a couple approaches. I'll give you one this morning. Get him to church. Get him to church. It's important when a person gets saved, he get to church that week. Because as I said earlier, the longer you put it off, the more difficult it's going to be to get him to church. So how do we get him to church? Well, here's an approach that works. After he's heard the gospel and accepted the gospel and trusted Christ as his Savior and been given assurance verses so that he knows that he is now on his way to heaven, that hell is no longer in his future, but heaven lies in his future. Then you might ask a question, something like this. Has Jesus done something for you today? Has he done something for you today? What did he do? He'll usually say yes. Well, what is it he did for you today? Well, he came into my heart. He saved me. He gave me a home in heaven, forgave my sins, saved me from hell. Yes, he did a lot for me today. Well, did you know that there's something that you can do for Jesus that would please him very much? Would you like to do something for Jesus? Since he's done so much for you, would you like to do something for him that would please him very much? Most folks will say yes. Well, what would that be? Well, in Romans chapter 10, in the Romans Road, we said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, God wants us to confess him with our mouth. And then you have Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Look with me at that verse. You might want to write it down. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. If we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before his Father in heaven. That's what it said. So would it be pleasing to him for me to confess Jesus Christ before men? How do you do that? Well, one way to do it would be to get you an automobile and put a loudspeaker system on top of the car and a microphone and drive through the streets and announce over the PA system that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. That's not the way most people do it. The way most people would do it is they would go to church somewhere, and when the invitation is given, walk down the aisle and let someone announce to the congregation that this person has trusted Christ as his Savior. The first thing that Jesus wants you to do after you've been saved is to publicly confess him. That's what baptism is, by the way, a public confession. So, are you busy Sunday? Would you be available to go to church this Sunday and confess him before men? If he says yes, then can we have a word of prayer and promise God we'll be there Sunday? Not promise me, promise God. I'll be there Sunday. Get a definite commitment from Him and seal that commitment with prayer. I believe if we do that, we'll get some folks not only saved, but we'll get them to church and get them baptized. They did that in the book of Acts. And I don't see recorded anywhere in the book of Acts where someone who got saved refused to get baptized. Not in there. I think today a person who genuinely gets saved will want to follow the Lord in baptism. That's the next step. After all, when I got saved, did I not make Him Lord of my life? What does that mean, when I made Him Lord of my life? It means He's the boss. Whatever He says goes. And He says the next thing I should do is get baptized. Confess Him before men. You know, I think too often we're afraid. We're afraid to approach Him on this. We're afraid we'll push somebody too far. Get rid of that fear. Don't be afraid to ask people to do what God has commanded them to do. Expect them to do it. Shouldn't we expect them to do it? A lot of times we don't expect them. If they did say yes, we would be shocked. We shouldn't be. We ought to expect folks to do the right thing. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's the second step. That's the second step. Now, I gave you one approach. That's to get them to church. The other approach is just to tell them they need to get baptized. We'll cover that one next week. Any questions on what we've talked about this morning? Anybody have a question? Comment. I must have done a good job teaching this morning. Thank you. That's that word of prayer we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, thank you for the